Not Quite Right features discussions that are unfiltered and uncensored and may include themes that are inappropriate for younger listeners. Also, I swear a lot.
Something doesn't seem quite right.
Welcome to Not Quite Right. My name's Ed.
And I'm Amanda.
And welcome to the very first Daredevil for the July 2026 Not Quite Right Prize for Flash Fiction.
I am very excited to be here, ready to do some roasting.
Super excited. We've got some interesting stories this round as well. Some nearly shortlisters, some return Daredevils as well.
Plenty to talk about.
Absolutely. So Daredevils are people who have signed up to have their story critiqued on air on the podcast. We will read the story, talk about the story, break it down, share our thoughts, and hopefully we'll all learn something in the process. And our victim for today is JJ Silkwood. JJ is a first-time Daredevil, a several-time entrant since back in April 2024, and first-time longlister this round. So this story did longlist and, in fact, came very close to the shortlist. So it's a story I'm very excited to talk about.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always good when we have some lovely positive things to say because it's like, well, what are we aiming for? Like, you can tell me all the things I shouldn't be doing. Great. What's left when we rule all of that out? And we will have some lovely things to say about this story. But the issue is, of course, it didn't make the shortlist. And I'm sure JJ will be frustrated by that and want to know why. And sometimes these things are very simple. Sometimes they're more complicated. But we'll certainly be able to give some insight into what exactly for this story stood between it and that shortlisting.
Absolutely. So JJ Silkwood has written for Team Amanda, as have most people, and in fact, as have all of our Daredevils this time around. So congratulations, Amanda. Tell us what the prompts were for this round.
Okay, so our word prompt was moon, and our action prompt was concealing something or a character who concealed something. And our kicker this round was to write a story inspired by yin energy. So yin and yang, yin being the feminine side, the dark side of the mountain, they call it shadow, softness, all of these kinds of ideas. So pretty open prompt, but also one which we'd hoped would inspire some really creative stuff. And indeed it did.
Absolutely did. So you have the pleasure of reading this story.
I do.
The female protagonist.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do the southern accent, so I think it's just going to have to be Aussie.
You've pulled it off before. I think you should give it a go.
Yikes. All right, we'll see. So here is Clean Edges, Sweet with Rot by JJ Silkwood. Aging ain't sudden. Mel likes sudden. Clean edges. Something she can point at and be done with. But out where the orange groves go a little sour, it don't come that way. At 29, something brushed Mel's hands under bathwater gone lukewarm. She still pulled them out, watched the wrinkles smooth away. Laughed it off. Easy. At 34, those wrinkles stuck longer than they ought to. Her mum did too. 6 months past the prognosis, till she didn't. The wrinkles stuck longer after that. At 38, it swam back in moon-soaked dreams. Water rising through her house slow and sure. Her skin dragging her down, claws scratching between her brows. She'd wake with her hands at her throat, sheets damp. At 43, she turned back toward Montura for her 25-year high school reunion. When her mum was in hospice, Mel promised she wouldn't skip another. The town sign stood just where she remembered it. Same crooked lean, same sun-faded paint. Population, 4,318. A gator lay beneath the sign like it had been waiting for her. It was a dried riverbed given bones. T teeth set crooked, eyes beady and certain. Mel rolled the window down. Heat come in heavy, sweet with rot. "Well now," she tuttered, "ain't you persistent?" It lifted its head, polite as company, gave a low sound. Just breath, with a hint of a laugh. It thwacked its tail against the sign. Dust fell. Numbers shook loose. Thwack, thwack. The 18 dropped clean. It looked at her. Only 43 held. Mel rolled the window up and drove on. At the school, an orange banner read, "Welcome back, class of 01. Mel flipped the sun visor down and checked her teeth. Moon bright. She pulled the skin between her brows smooth. The 11 slid right back as soon as she let go. For a blink, there sat her mum, looking back. She slammed the visor shut. From the Miami Hospital employee ID clip there, her 10 years younger self smiled at her. Mel yanked it off. She headed for the entrance, recognizing folks in pieces. There went Amber by that peppy as hell walk. Bobby, by the way, he still sucked in his stomach when Amber passed. Behind them, gaiters dragged fat bellies across the blacktop. At the doors, Amber wheeled around and shoved at her gaiter's snout. "Go on, git!" The thing didn't so much as blink. She shoved harder. Its jaws snapped open, a wet crack rang out. Amber screamed. Thwack! Her arm hit the pavement. Mel took off, running. Amber went down, clutching at her ragged stump. Blood dripped from her gator's teeth. Mel dropped beside her, looking for something, anything to stanch the bleeding. "Bobby, give me your shirt." He just stood there. "Good Lord, at least call 911. Something scraped the blacktop behind her. Sure enough, Mel's gator was ambling on up, taking its sweet time. "Mel," Amber rasped, blood soaking into her dress. "You look exactly the same." Mel locked eyes with her gator. This time, she smiled.
Well, thank you so much, JJ. And I am so sorry. I tried to do the Southern accent thing and I couldn't do it. And it changed the whole thing, honestly. I did not do that justice, so I apologize. I think it does read beautifully in a Southern accent, which is how it reads in my head.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit different when it's coming out of my mouth. So sincere apologies, but amazing story, lots of fun, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. So JJ's left us a voice message, so we'll play that now.
Hey guys, this is JJ Silkwood out of Zurich, Switzerland. I recently hit a big birthday milestone, and after catching myself Googling baby Botox, I was really struck by the absurdity of denying my own aging. So I wrote this story with that concept in mind. I gave it a subtle yin-yang structure, the first half showcasing yin with the slow accumulation of aging and passive flow of the narrative, and then the second is yang, where the action ramps up and even mocks Mel. It's really through that absurdity she finally acknowledges her gator and the yin of it all, her aging. So I'd love to hear what works for you, what doesn't, and if you have any characterization tips to strengthen Mel. Thank you.
So thanks for your message, JJ. And as always, we will, of course, share what worked for us and what didn't work for us. And as it relates to characterization tips, we have some thoughts, I guess, around the characters in general in this story. So we'll get into that as well and hopefully answer those questions for you.
So as we mentioned at the outset, this story did long list. So a bit of behind the scenes, we have six stories obviously in the shortlist, and we had this round, I think, about 10 that we were considering for the shortlist, like in the...
Yeah, something like that.
In the pool that we were seriously considering, and this was one of the 10. Mm. And at various points of the process, it may have slipped in to the shortlist and then out again, unfortunately. But all of the judges rated this one a maybe plus or higher and quoted, great voice, great vibe.
Loved the sort of shock value, loved that shift, but also had some challenges with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the challenges, I mean, just to put them on the table, perhaps the shift in tone right at the end of the story when the alligator bites kind of came out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe some clarity issues that surround the metaphor of the alligator. But we will get into those as we go.
Let's start with some positives because, of course, there are many about this story. And I think number one, and this is the one I guess I must apologize for, is the voice. Mm. The character voice is really strong here. I have a bit of a, I wouldn't call it a pet peeve, but just like a trigger, I suppose, with Southern accents, because I do feel like they absolutely lend themselves to strong voice. But at the same time, for me, it can feel a little forced sometimes. And I say this as a non-American, by the way, but it's like one of those ones where you can put the voice in the dialogue and the tone very easily. And so we see it a lot. Basically.
We do. There's a bit of a cliche around it. And it's often a folksy thing. You know, we've all seen Forrest Gump. We know how that plays out.
Mama always said.
Exactly. It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah. And look, it works and it worked here, right?
It wasn't done here. That vibe wasn't present really here. It just happened to be Southern, which is a little bit different.
Yeah. And I don't even know why I call that out except to just be, I guess, forthcoming with the perspective that I have when I'm going into this judging. But absolutely strong voice and that poetic tone in some of what's written here too, even just the clean edges, something she can point at and be done with.
Yeah.
You could just say, and we have, we've got the very telling sentence, if you like, Mel likes sudden, very telling, very clear, followed immediately by something more, I guess, esoteric, clean edges, something she can point at and be done with. And I think that juxtaposition is really nice, especially in flash fiction, because we've been very clear. We've said Mel likes sudden, and we're right at the start of this story setting up who she is.
Mm.
So that's really helpful information, but we haven't just left it at that because that might be a little bit dull, I guess, or not exciting to read for a reader. So what you've done then, JJ, is give us something to chew on there.
Yeah.
Like, what is this idea of clean edges? What does that mean? And to point at and be done with, what does that mean? And we start to get a bit more of an evocative picture of this character.
Mm.
So I really like how you've done that there, and I think that works really well.
Yeah, and so we're talking about the opening paragraph here, and we often talk about like setting the stage and painting a picture in the mind of the reader, and this opening paragraph doesn't do that. I think the next paragraph starts to do that more, but what I think it does is establish the voice and establish the character, which are equally as important. You know, even though we don't know where we are just yet, we have an inkling of something forming and we're not confused. And even more than that, it's intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the main things I recommend people tick off, you know, in their opening sentences are, who is this story about? We've got that very clearly. And of course, I like to say name the character. It's not always essential, but we've got that here. So we've already got Mel. We've been introduced to Mel. The next thing is the where. And we do have, like, out where the orange groves go a little sour. And because we've got that Southern, like, twang to it as well, we also get a sense of where in the world that is set. So those things are very, very crucial. And on top of that, we've got the beginnings of the tone and the voice of this piece. And we've also got a bit of a hook too, because we're starting to wonder, okay, well, Mel likes it sudden, but it's not going to be like that. We've got a sense of conflict already. So all of that is amazing. And that's in just, like, a few sentences. So very, very well done.
And we're also referencing the title early on as well. So the title being Clean Edges, Sweet with Rot, we get the clean edges half of the title. We get the sweet with rot later. Both of those are, I guess, quite evocative in themselves, not cliche as such.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this title absolutely does recall the story in my mind, which I think is the key.
Yep.
And it's absolutely not cliche whatsoever. So from my perspective, it works really well. And it's also, I guess, gives you that little bit of that question that you're left with at the end of this story. Like, what does that mean exactly? And what does it mean for me? So after this opening paragraph, we move into this kind of backstory bit, you know, where we start to talk about the progression of aging, I suppose, for Mel. Now, I'm going to skip ahead, I guess, a little bit to maybe this fatal flaw, one of the things that we struggled with this story, and that is that JJ, in her brief explanation, gave us a bit more information about this and sort of said that alligators are a metaphor for aging. Mm. And so, you know, when Amber's pushing the alligator away, that's her denying that she's aging and kind of, I guess, trying to fake it. And at the end, Mel kind of accepts her aging. And so we've got in this opening part, this kind of slow creep of the alligator, you know, underwater. We've got the pruny fingers, and then it starts to go from there. Now, all of that's wonderful, but unfortunately, that wasn't clear to me until I read the brief explanation, and it's clear from the judge's comments that it wasn't really clear to anybody until we got that brief explanation. And it does make sense in hindsight, but that is something that needs to be much more clear. So while it's kind of very evocative and beautiful and interesting, we're not getting it. We're not engaging with this, oh, so it's an alligator and the alligator is aging. Mm. And to be honest, I don't know that I have a piece of feedback about how to best communicate that.
Yeah.
Without being too in your face. I don't know. But like you've got here, we talked before, you've got Mel likes sudden. Yeah. And then clean edges sweet with rot. Maybe it's as simple as like really stating that up front, that the alligator represents aging somehow. Find a way to make that explicit just that once.
Yeah.
And then the rest, you can keep it evocative because we know now what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I definitely had that experience reading this story as well. Once that metaphor became apparent and I kind of got where JJ was going with this story, it really elevated the story. Mm. But that's never what you want. And this is a general comment about the explanation fields that we provide. They are there to explain your use of the prompts, basically, so we don't misunderstand how you've utilized the prompts.
And disqualify you for missing something.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're not there to explain the story. And some people do definitely add background information like about the setting or the characters in those fields, which is fine. But we really hate to rely on that information to the story into. Exactly. So when you're saying it's things that may have helped solidify this, yeah, I agree. An example, like a definite concrete example could help. I think when reading through these backstory sections, we kind of jump through the ages. We start with this moment where Mel is in the bath and something brushes her hands. And I know that reading this the first time, I was confused by that. Like, what is happening? What is brushing her hand? And I didn't pick that to be like the alligator. Mm. And I think, yes, making that explicit, like a baby alligator, and somehow mirroring like the texture of the alligator, the wrinkled kind of clawy alligator, which definitely feels old, right? Mm. The alligators feel old.
Aren't they the oldest thing, right? Like the most closely
but
related to
dinosaurs.
But
even the young alligator is always wrinkly and old looking, right? So it completely makes
tough
sense
skin
to me as a metaphor. But I feel like it's the fact that you haven't called out the alligator there in that moment. We don't really get that connection start to be drawn, because if you start it there at that moment and then have the alligator get bigger as she gets older and then she turns up at the high school reunion and we see the alligator, we know that that is the alligator. When she does see the alligator at the high school reunion or as she's driving into town, it's not put forward as her alligator.
Yeah.
It's just an alligator.
Yeah.
So we take that at face value. We haven't been told like, hey, there's this whole alligator metaphor. It's just like she sees an alligator and we are being introduced to that alligator for the first time. So I think we need to have had that alligator grow with her.
Yeah. And look, when that alligator is introduced for the first time, for me reading this the first time, that was literally just an alligator there. Like you're going back to some town where they have alligators, right? And it just happens to be there. And that was quite evocative. But I wasn't seeing it as this kind of metaphysical kind of manifestation of aging. I was seeing it as literally there's an alligator there. Mm. But, you know, there's lots of opportunities with this. I think it's all there. It's just a matter of being much more clear with it and perhaps a bit more strategic with what you're saying.
Yeah.
The other opportunity, I suggest, so we've got that we begin at 29, really.
Yeah.
And one challenge I'd give for that one, she brushes her hands under the bathwater. She pulls it out. They're wrinkly, but they smooth away. I mean, that's just pruny fingers to me. That's not aging either. And maybe that's intentional. Like the first time it happens, it's not really real wrinkles, and that's fine. I get that. But I wonder if we need to take a step back to high school, because this is the high school reunion. Would it be worth beginning that aging process in the final year of high school and have that first horrifying, like, oh, I'm getting old kind of thing there, just to make that loop make sense. And yeah, maybe there's a moment there where Amber says something to her rather than just being in the bath, just to give, I guess, a little bit more power to Amber as a character as well, or to any of the other characters that you use.
Yeah, look, I had similar feedback around some of these time jumps. I mean, I like this format, you know, the time jump. We're seeing her get older. At 34, we have this moment with her mum and her prognosis, living 6 months past. While, you know, that gives us a bit of character and a bit of her relationship with aging. Obviously, she's had a mother who has gone through a medical issue, and she is therefore hung up about aging and has this kind of relationship with aging. She doesn't want to age, she doesn't want to die, that kind of thing. That definitely comes through. But I also think that that is an opportunity, as you've mentioned as well, to introduce some of these characters that come in later. Because when they come in, it's for the first time. Mm. We don't really know what the relationship is like. Having them come through in those earlier moments, I think, might make those interactions later a bit more powerful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't have a big problem with the mother coming in there, because she is called back again later, because she's drawing that comparison between, you know, she sees her own face in the rearview mirror and sees her mother. So I think that's fine. And it's a word count issue, really. Like, do you have the words? But I do think it would be helpful to potentially bring at least Amber back in early, because otherwise what we end up with, and look, it's okay for flash fiction, but archetypes instead of characters, right? Amber is such an archetype. She's just, you know, the high school cheerleader type who was popular in high school and now is aging, like that kind of thing, which is great, because sometimes in flash fiction with a short word count, you have to rely on these familiar kind of themes that people know to sort of manage things quickly, but it does feel less personal.
Yeah.
And so if you can find a way to make it more personal for Mel and her experience of high school, I think that levels up that uniqueness and that individuality of this story over and above, like, just any old high school reunion. And same goes for the guy whose name escapes me, but the one who was sucking in his gut. Again, a bit archetypal, right? He's just the guy who's gone a bit soft in the middle by the high school reunion, who was perhaps, you know, a love interest at the time of high school, but we don't know anything else about him. Oh, Bobby. So I guess just an option to level up. I mean, those weren't issues that I guess that stood in the way of this story shortlisting, but, you know, you're writing it in a weekend. If you were to go back and look at it, you could start to kind of push some of these things a little bit harder and I guess get a bit more out of the word count.
Yeah. And I think the takeaway from this is that we all did really enjoy that metaphor, the idea of the alligator and aging and drawing these lines. And the good thing about the alligator metaphor is that it's so unusual and that it's not a cliche. It's not like, oh, alligators and aging go hand in hand, but it's obvious.
Mm.
And so really it does become about making these comparisons more clear. You know, the next bit, we're at 38 and she's got these moon-soaked dreams, like, leaning into the prompt. But I love the imagery, the skin dragging, claws scratching. So the idea of, like, soaking water, skin, claws, this stuff that evokes an alligator. I just wish that link had been made. I wish that we got that through line a bit more clearly so that we can just follow that, so that when she does see the alligator, we're like, we know who you are in the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
A maybe minor note on the structure or point of clarity. So the next little paragraph is at 43. So at 43, she turned back toward Montura for her 25-year high school reunion. And then the story continues from there.
Mm.
So we've gotten this cadence of 29, 34, 38, 43. And for me as a reader, I kind of expected that to continue as a broad brushstrokes view of her life.
You needed more of a signpost that it was, that's where we're sticking now kind of thing.
Maybe just a little, like, now at 43.
Yeah.
Or something just to tell us, hey, this is where the story starts.
Yeah, and it can be that simple. I think in this case, it is complicated a little by that line, when her mum was in hospice, Mel promised she wouldn't skip another. Because now we've jumped back again.
Yep.
And then we're jumping forward again. And I would call that, like, a little speed bump kind of thing with reading. And we want to iron all of those out. So it's not like that sentence is not clear. It is. But as you're reading, it doesn't flow. And so it takes a minute for you as a reader to go, hang on, wait, where are we? And then we're jumping back to the present again. So I think just take care with that one. That's the kind of thing I'd just do a gentle edit on, maybe move that earlier when it happens, that she promises she won't skip a high school reunion. Or maybe we don't even need it and we just move into the high school reunion for some other reason.
So what I love about this story as well is it's very visual to me. And then we've had this moment where she sees a population sign, 4318, and we get like the 18 falling off. She's not 18 anymore and the 43 remaining. And I can just imagine this playing out in a movie as well. Like also this idea of we're unsure as the reader, are the other alligators actually there or is this kind of manifestation or are they both? Like, are they there because we're in the south and there are alligators?
But we're giving them this meaning that they don't really have.
Yeah, sometimes they're real, sometimes they're not. And I could totally see that in a movie. It is a challenge in a story because we do really seek that clarity, but I do really enjoy the visual aspect of this and I can clearly picture this all taking place in my head and I love those details like the 4318.
Yeah, and even just the line like about the sign, same crooked lean, same sun-faded paint, like just in such few words giving us a really beautiful kind of visual. To me, this had Jaws vibes, this story. Yeah. I don't know, I can just picture the paint and the signs and all of that sort of stuff. So that's the kind of vibe that was in my head, which works obviously perfectly given the subject matter in this story. But, you know, we're leaning into lots of sensory details here. Yeah. Like the sweet with Rod is a smell, right? She winds down the window and that's what she smells. We're getting that humid air. We're getting that cloying sort of feeling. And the smell, it's rotting. And that's perfect, again, for what's happening in the story. So in terms of Poe, right?
Yeah,
like that's
absolutely.
All beautiful. We're getting, for those who are new here, so when I say Poe, I'm talking about Edgar Allan Poe. He gave the advice to have a single effect, a single emotional effect in your story. But for me, that translates as well to like a thematic effect. So if we're going with this aging and rotting and all of that sort of stuff, this kind of language is really leaning into that and giving us a very, very clear feeling to accompany the story.
Yeah, and my note to this is give me more of that because we have this moment that she rolls the window down, the kid comes in heavy, sweet with Rod. We get given the second half of the title there to fill in the gap and we get like an extension of this metaphor or really, I guess, her internal state being reflected in the external environment that she's in. Like it's sweet with Rod. She's also feeling like she's sweet with Rod, rotting from the inside as she gets older, I guess.
Relatable.
Yeah, so just more of that, I think. And like, look, not to say that it's absent, but I just really love that in the story.
You say more of that. I think it's got plenty of that. I mean, I'm happy personally with what we have here. For me, the real thing that was lacking was that clarity. And we do have the poetry. We do have this beautiful imagery. What that needs is sort of just a bit more of a guiding light as to how we're supposed to interpret that.
Yeah. And so then we have this moment where she meets the alligator, he lifts his head, gives this sound, and it's put here on the page as just H-H-H.
Yeah.
And we both commented that we love that. It's very evocative. It's a great way of, even with such a sparse description, it's so easy to imagine exactly what that alligator would look and sound like from those three letters. I think it's really
so
well done.
It's so good. It's so good. Onomatopoeia, beautifully. I mean, you can't have ha, 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 or hee, 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 or ho, ho, ho. We're running out, right? Yeah. So we get rid of the vowel. Yeah. And I can't overstate how much I love that. That sung to me, that just those three letters.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what a story can do, to spark your own imagination as you're reading. And I could not for the life of me make that sound when I'm trying to read this story, but I heard it in my head and I saw the alligator doing it.
Yeah.
And that was really cool as well. And it did also give this kind of mystical kind of element. Like that's a sound maybe an alligator makes, but we're getting this kind of laughing, kind of sneering alligator.
He's
now.
There intentionally. He's being a dickhead, basically.
Which again, like just walking that line between what's real and what's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I love.
One little challenge of this scene, you know, which I love. She drives in, sees the alligator. He knocks down the sign. It's now 43. Reminding her once again of the aging, introducing the alligator as like a formal character who's now in the scene. But then Mel rolls up the window and drives on. I do wish we got a little bit more of her reaction. How did that make her feel? What does she do? Because she just kind of witnesses this alligator, something crazy happens, and then she's just like off without so much of a response. I think there's maybe an opportunity there to give us a little bit more of like her frame of mind in that moment.
Yeah, and you know, we often talk about internality or interiority being an issue in the stories that we received, and it certainly was this round. But it does have a place, and that's to give us insight into how the character's reacting to what they're perceiving. So sometimes we do need a little bit of that.
All right, so now she's heading into the reunion. She's sitting in the car. sun visor down, like checking herself, seeing what she looks like. She's smoothing her 11s, which is the first time I've heard of that phrase. Yeah. I don't know if that's something that you're familiar with.
No, I'm not. And it's phrased here as the 11s as in numeral 1,
yeah.
1S,
yeah.
Which is probably helpful because it's the lines, but also is not how I would normally write. You'd write the word in full, 11. So I wasn't quite sure what was being said there, and I figured it out, right? Yeah. But again, it's one of those speed bumps, you know, like that's one of those things where you give it to a beta reader and they go, oh, that tripped me up a little bit, and you just sort of finesse it. Because I'm not saying don't say it because it's a great visual. It's more like how do you say it to make sure everyone gets it.
Yeah.
Without having to sort of pause and think.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it is a thing, right? It's a phrase that people are aware of. I wasn't aware of it, so
I don't know.
I googled it it's a thing. So so it could just be luck of the draw that the judge that reads your story doesn't know what that means, but yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It's just a little bit slightly obscure maybe for us. And then she looks in the mirror and sees her mum looking back, which maybe is a little bit cliche, but I found it relatable because I've looked in the mirror and seen my dad looking back. And we've also been introduced, as you said, to her mum earlier on. So she's not doing that out of the blue. It's linking into the story, and that surfaces or resurfaces her relationship with her mother and more of her worries about aging and death.
Yeah, and I think there's another opportunity here if we're talking about getting a little bit more insight into what she's thinking. Mm. Okay, so you see your mum looking back, and we know that mum's died. Yeah. All right, so how can we sort of leverage the impact of that moment right now?
Yeah.
If we're talking cause and effect, like right now it's a series of events, right? She's driving back, the alligator does its thing, and then she looks in the mirror and then she's going in. If we talk cause and effect, like what is making things happen? Mm. So if she looks in the mirror and sees her mum, what does she then do as a result of that? If she just slams the visor and keeps going, it's kind of an insignificant moment. If that moment causes her to do something different, or if it causes her to have a moment of reflection, then maybe it's more worthwhile having. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just yet another opportunity for her to notice that she's aging. Okay. If, for example, you know, she's got all these feelings associated with her mum dying young, how does that then change her relationship with the alligator in this moment? Does she start to fear it even more, perhaps, you know, and try and avoid it? Like, how are we getting that cause and effect there?
Look, that's a good point. It does link into, you know, the earlier moment of not having that reaction with the alligator, because we know what's coming through very clearly is she does not like the idea of aging. She's feeling old. She feels like she's looking old. She knows that she's mortal, all those kinds of things. But we don't really see how she's dealing with this information and these feelings. We know that she's feeling them, but we don't really get like how she's
They're not influencing her behavior. Yeah. Like she's just kind of coasting along.
And maybe she's stressing about them, but is there anything more than that? I'm not sure.
And I mean, from a nitpicky perspective we have here, she slammed the visor shut. Mm. From the Miami Hospital employee ID clip there, her 10 years younger self smiled at her.
Yeah.
Now, that is what I would call a mouthful of a sentence, like, and it's a little bit difficult to pass as we're reading that. So that's the kind of sentence, again, nitpicky, but I would go through and edit that. But beyond that, I would consider, okay, well, it's great to know she works at Miami Hospital. Yeah. That gives us a bit more information about her. When we choose details in a piece of flash fiction, the joy of that is to choose the most relevant, apt detail that actually carries subtext about what's going on for her in this story. Now, that may have a little bit because, of course, she's looking at a younger version of herself in that ID. So, like, don't get me wrong, that moment is valid. But I'm just wondering if there's something a little bit more apt about her in this moment that feeds into the scene, that gives us subtext, that pushes the story along a little bit.
Yeah, my note about that paragraph as well is just that it feels quite redundant because the fact that she was 10 years younger once upon a time is just restating the premise, and the fact that we already understand about this is that she's at a high school reunion, she's feeling old. So it's not really giving us any new information or progressing the plot or revealing anything about her herself that we don't already know. So it's kind of a little bit redundant, it's a bit of repetition. I would just cut that out and use the words for something else.
Yeah, and maybe you're using the words to have that moment of introspection about the mum and then what do we do next, or maybe we're going to approach it differently. I don't know.
All right, so then she's headed for the entrance, recognizing folks in pieces. So she runs into Amber and Bobby on the way. And, you know, once again, it would be great if we already knew Amber and Bobby and they were kind of coming back to us now and we could see them with her eyes, but they're new to us in that moment.
But I will say about those, that's some beautiful, very brief characterization that gives us an image right away. So Amber's peppy as hell walk and Bobby sucking in his stomach, like that tells us so much in just a few words that you really don't need to say much more.
Yeah.
The only point just being, again, like, how do we make them feel like real people, not just archetypes of the typical people from high school? How do we make that more poignant in this moment for Mel?
Yeah, and not just real people, but real people that have meaning to her, because although we get a glimpse of, like, we can imagine Bobby, we can imagine Amber as you say, standalone archetypes, what do they mean to Mel? Like, what relationship did she have with them? Is it just framed as, I hope they don't see that I'm old kind of thing? Or does she have, like, a history with them? You know, does she have some goal here apart from just denying her age?
And I think that's the big question, and that's what is the challenge in this story. And perhaps if you were, JJ, to go back and work on this story, perhaps for publication or something like that, maybe just have a little bit more of a think very clearly about what you are saying about aging. Because we've got these kind of themes, and it's sort of coming and going in terms of how she feels about aging and how she's approaching it and how the other people feel. But we don't sort of have a clear thesis coming through. And I think it would be nice if we did. Like, what does Mel come into the story believing? And how does she change as a result of the effects of the story to come to some new realization at the end? And we don't really have that. We kind of have this ebb and flow a little bit of how she feels about aging without this real cause and effect that gives us a changed position at the end of the story. And look, it's all kind of there, but I guess what I'm saying is if we were more clear on that, then I think this metaphor would hit a little bit harder.
Yeah. So now in the next little sequence, the gator metaphor here is being expanded. We have gators dragging fat bellies across the blacktop. So now we've got multiple gators. And presumably this is all of the people at the reunion have their own gator, I think is what's being expressed here. And the story takes a bit of a turn here where Amber's gator bites her arm off, basically.
Very sudden.
And JJ, you did say in your message that there was like a yin-yang piece to this story. So what we perceived as a sudden tone shift was the yang energy coming through.
Intentional, right?
Intentional
choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, I love that. I love when you take the prompts and really lean into them and are inspired by them. That's the whole point. And I guess the question then becomes about, like, is that serving the story or is the story serving the prompts? And, of course, we always want the story to be the hero and not to necessarily lean on the prompts at the expense of that. And, look, in this case, I guess we both felt that that jarring shift in tone, I don't know, like it could work potentially, but just with the word count maybe didn't have quite enough space to have both that real slow, creeping feeling of aging versus that the more yang side of it. And so, I mean, that's really a question for you to decide if you go back and revise this story and think about the theme and the thesis a little bit more and exactly what you want to say with that. I think then you'll probably have your answer as to that moment and whether that still works for you and what you want to do with that.
Yeah. And look, I've said on the podcast before, I love a bit of absurdity. I love escalation, and I feel that that's important, especially when you've got a story that has a little bit of absurdity to it. Like, it's kind of whimsical, where you're talking about alligators and aging and we're not sure what's real and what isn't. I do really appreciate the escalation, but it feels like it does come quite abruptly without maybe the setup that it requires, because the emotional energy of this piece, it's quiet, it's oppressive, like there's heat, there's the inevitability of death, like this slow onslaught of death. And we've got gators who move very slowly and like laugh in funny ways and remind you that you're going to die one day. And that flips so quickly into something that's like urgent and bloody and there's blood spilling everywhere. And I'm not sure what that part of the metaphor means.
Yeah.
You know, we're no longer the inevitable march towards death. We're bleeding out right here, right now. And I guess I wasn't sure what that meant from a metaphorical point of view, as well as just the shift in tone that comes with it.
Yeah. And look, in that moment when I read that, I was like, is this really happening or not? And I think that's a challenge because we've said before, like, it's great to let your readers have questions, but they should never be questioning what is happening. And I think we start to question what is happening here. We're like, is an alligator really biting someone's arm off, or is she imagining that? Because, you know, that's the kind of thing you might see in a movie or whatever, someone confronts their high school bully and then they just start picturing them like getting torn limb from limb. I mean, there's a scene in Mean Girls, right, where all the African animals come and start like causing chaos in the playground. Like, for me, it's like, is that what's happening? We've just sort of shifted into a dream state kind of thing and we're hallucinating, or is it really happening? If it is, what does it mean? And I think that's too many questions. Yeah. I think, as you say, a bit more setup would have helped. I am also all for the gator biting the arm off. This is fiction. Yeah. We can go there. And I think you should go there, but it's just about being very clear. And this is what I was trying to get at before as well. Being very clear on your thesis and then having all the threads weave into that one idea so that everything is giving us more information about the same thing instead of just kind of these separate threads that are all related but not sort of working together. And I think that's what we need here. Like, what does it mean when Amber gets her arm snapped off, and how does that impact now what Mel feels about aging? How does that change her? Does something change or not? And that's where we have just this sort of sequence of events. The alligator just sort of does that apropos of nothing, and then we're kind of panicking, and then it's kind of over, and we don't have this opportunity to see how that causes a change or creates an impact in the story.
Yeah. And I think there's a way that it does make sense from a metaphorical point of view. Like, if we take the alligator to mean aging, and if there is something physical about her body that becomes revealed in that moment that the alligator is like, so if she, like, her dress slips and reveals like a, you know, wrinkle or I don't know,
but
women, that, like, what do women obsess about? And then Mel sees that, and that in that moment the alligator like chops her arm off, and we understand why and what it means a little bit more clearly. I think that could go a long way.
The word that just popped into my head is fordubitas, right? You know fordubitas?
No, I don't.
That's a Kath and Kim thing. That's the flabby upper arm.
Yes.
Anyway, it's such a great word. Yeah, you're right. And so we don't know what's going on there, and so therefore, and it's expressed as literal, right? Mm. We never sort of get that moment where it's revealed to be kind of dream or hallucination. It's very much expressed literal, and then we kind of just shift back again to like, oh, you look great. Mm. Like, and we need more signposting for that to work, I think.
I actually don't mind that we don't know, in theory, whether it's literal or not, but it has to be both then, right? It has to be both the metaphor and the literal interpretation, and they both have to make sense.
Yeah.
And if we're unsure whether it's one or the other or both, we can kind of suspend our disbelief for a moment and say, oh, okay, well, it's probably both and it works either way and now I've got something to think about.
Mm.
But because it doesn't quite work in both ways, we're just kind of caught in the middle and we're not sure what to think there.
Yeah, and look, I think you were right before as well to highlight, and again, if we go back to Poe and the single effect, you know, it is a very sudden shift in tone. We are right near the end of the story. The risk there is that you've got a lot of work to do then to kind of set this shift up and pay it off. And it may be appropriate to just stick with that slow-moving kind of threatening vibe that the alligators have and not necessarily tip over into the biting off of the arm. It's an option to consider because, like I said, you just sort of don't have the words to kind of wrap it all back up again once you've opened that can of worms kind of thing. But, you know, I do love it, and it did make it a memorable kind of story as well. So I guess this is all about finessing. And I think once you have a more clear picture of exactly what you're saying here, then you will be able to structure that for more of a payoff, for more meaning in that moment. You know, and then we move on and we've got Mel's gator and we're back to the slow again, and it's ambling up and Amber's bleeding, and but she has the wherewithal to say, you look exactly the same.
Mm.
And then Mel looks at her gator. And I do love this moment where the like, the, you know, it's Mel this time doing that. She's like embodied the alligator. That is cool. That's a cool moment. But again, I don't really get what she's feeling in that moment, how she feels about aging in that moment, why that's changed as a result of what's happened in the story. We just kind of have the moment without the purpose of it. And JJ has explained again in the brief explanation that that is the moment where Mel accepts her aging.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that works in the sense that she's embodied this alligator and she's making the alligator sound. But we don't know, like, why is she accepting it? Like, what caused that? And now we don't care about Amber bleeding out. And, like, we're just kind of a little bit emotionally lost, I think, right here at the end.
Look, I know I've just been thinking about how, if I'm writing this, draw these connections a bit more clearly and, you know, rework the ending. What I'm imagining, because we get like this general idea of aging being an issue, but we don't get like the specifics. Mm. So I'm imagining a situation where, forget about Bobby, you know, it's Mel and Amber, and they have like a rivalry from high school. They were like out competing each other in high school, and now they haven't seen each other for a long time. Mel's in the car and she's stressing about like exactly what was the word you used?
Fidubitas.
Fidubitas. She's like, oh my God, my fidubitas. She's like covering it up. Meanwhile, the alligator is like at the car door, like clawing to get in. And, you know, like we get these specific things that she's covering up about herself. We understand what her specific anxiety is, and not just like the generalized, I'm getting older, like specifically this and that tied into her relationship with Amber. And then if we are at the reunion and we see Amber accidentally reveal a clear sign of aging, something she was trying to hide, something she was very self-conscious about, and then we see Amber's alligator just like devour her. And it's not a moment at the end of like Mel accepting herself getting older. It's Mel winning and then looking at her alligator and smiling and being like, yes.
Everybody wants to win at the high school reunion.
Yeah, that's the point of the high school reunion, isn't it?
To just go back and win. Yeah, this is the thing. Like, we've got this kind of esoteric aging thing, but we don't have a clear picture of Mel's actual journey here. Yeah, like, what is it that she's trying to avoid? What is it that she confronts here, apart from just this sort of vague aging idea that you get when you go back to your high school reunion? So, yeah, I think you raise a good point. If we can be clear on what the plot is in terms of what she really doesn't want to happen, what the stakes are for her, like that's classic story stuff, right? Exactly. What are the stakes? What's the goal? And then we watch her struggle against that. And it's the alligator that's the antagonist, I guess. Struggle against the alligator as we go through. Have that climactic moment with Amber. Have that cause a change somehow in Mel and in her state of mind. Mm. And then, look, I love ending that she's embodied the alligator and she's making that sound. I do love that sound. I think that's an amazing ending and should probably stay. But it just becomes about, okay, well, why is she now cool with aging? Like, what was it that happened today that made her just go, oh, I don't care about my fedoras anymore or whatever. And now I'm fine and happy in myself. Or, I mean, that maybe that's a bit too happily ever after for a story like this. Mm. And maybe we want to take it darker and that's fine too. There are many options. But yeah, I think weaving that classic story structure back in would give this sort of more of a framework for all of that beautiful poetic stuff to really sing.
And look, I think there's the strengths of this story are many and we've acknowledged what they are. The metaphor is great. And also the whole theme here is so universal. Like we're all aging. Some of us are actually 43. Not me.
I'm much older
than 43.
But, no, it is. And that's making the universal personal is a wonderful way to write effective flash fiction. And those are the kinds of stories that make the shortlist because everyone can just relate. So, absolutely, like theme-wise, concept-wise, character-wise, voice, the beautiful prose here. We talked about a couple of niggles, but the rest of it is great. We've got efficient prose. You know, we're getting so much information very quickly and all of that is really, really wonderful. And so I guess we've focused on the fatal flaw here because that was what kept it off the shortlist. But I really hope, JJ, that you do revise this story and shop it around for publication because I think it has some really wonderful potential and I think a lot of other people will resonate with this as well.
Agree.
And, you know, you do smash it out in a weekend. And it's nice to have time to just sit on a story, think about it, come back with fresh eyes and really like refine your messaging and make it sing as much as possible. So I hope you do that.
And thank you, JJ, for sharing your story and putting yourself out there as a daredevil for everyone's benefit. It's a learning experience. We're all learning here. And it does take a lot to put yourself out there, but you came very close.
Yeah,
you came as close as possible.
We weren't that nice just now. We did focus on the negatives, but really, you got off lightly, JJ, because you wrote a wonderful piece of fiction. Mm. So I think well done on that. And, you know, as a headline for everyone else, because of course not everyone's writing stories about gators and aging, right? But the headline is that clarity is very important.
Yep.
And in a piece of flash fiction, you've got to sort of weigh up clarity versus poetry or imagery and err on the side of clarity, I would say, most of the time, and make sure that your message is kind of, or your thesis is clear, and then let all that beautiful poetry sort of sit alongside that rather than replacing that. And I think if you can have that in mind, then especially as you're editing your story, then you're going to have better results.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And we will be back in a week's time with our second Daredevil for this round. Until then, ride on.
Ride on.
We hope you enjoyed this special Daredevil episode of Not Quite Right. If you have thoughts on the story, follow us on social media and join the conversation. And if you'd like to participate in the next round of the competition, head over to our website at notquiteright.com. That's WRITE.
Something doesn't seem quite right.
I mean, I can do it. I just feel like it's going to sound stupid.
Okay.
Aging ain't sudden. Mel lacks sudden. Fuck you.
It's good. Sorry.
You're such a fucking hater.
Start again.
We're supposed to be professional.
Why start now?